Hello, this is Janet Gowan, welcoming you to Love Letters Live, and another in the series of the life of Marshall Mend, who started out in his father's meat business, took it where he took it. You can listen to his other Love Letters Live presentations, and is now in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, having made a wonderful name for himself through all kinds of innovative things he's done. And where we last left him, Marshall, you have just met the part of the neo-Nazi group in, okay.
Yes.
So okay. Go ahead. You want to talk about the signs first that have your picture.
Let's do,
and okay, then let's get into human rights okay. And you against the Nazis.
Okay. So we had talked about when the sign man came in and I went up and asked Pepper whether I could put my picture on the sign, and he said I could. And when the sign man came back and delivered my signs into the office, I worked with a lady her name was Sharon, and she was a wonderful lady, a little off the wall on certain things. She had a way with words. When she saw that sign, she looked at me and she said, "You are a blankety-blank egomaniac."
And I said, I am
an egomaniac. No, I said to her, I said, when she said that, I said, I am an egomaniac, but that's not the reason I put my picture on the sign. The reason I put my picture on the sign is because that's what Mark Victor Hansen said, to put your picture on everything. Now, he never said put it on your sign because nobody had ever put their picture on their sign.
So that part was you.
That part was me. Mm-hmm. Well, I just saw the sign guy come in with signs, and I asked him the questions, I could put my picture on the sign. So, but Mark Victor Hansen was the inspiration of putting my picture on anything I could put him on. So that's when I put him on the sign. And I am an egomaniac, and I think it's good to be an egomaniac, because in the Bible it says you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, then
your neighbor
how
doesn't
can,
stand a chance.
That's right. So you need to love yourself as much as you can, and I do love myself a lot. And sometimes it takes some work, you know, to do that. You have to work on that, loving yourself, because sometimes we get mad at ourselves.
Yes, worth doing, though. Okay, go on to the human rights. So when we last were speaking, you were talking about having seen a for sale sign, and you went in, and you asked the man how the sale was going, and he took off with...
Okay.
The N-word, I
had a little piece of on my new house. One of the things I really liked about it, only had a little bit of lawn. Everything else was natural foliage.
Right.
And
you had said that.
Planted.
You talked about that part. Yes.
Okay. And then I took my lawnmower in to get sharpened.
Mm-hmm.
And this little guy was there. He looked like Tojo.
Oh, you'd say
and
yes.
And he had these... These glasses that have looked like Coke bottles.
And what set him off against?
He had one arm, and he had about 10 or 12 kids in this little tiny house, and it was had a for sale sign on it.
Wait a minute. So you talked about how interest rates.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to that.
No, I didn't talk about that.
Well,
I talked about that with you after.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
So vivid in my head.
Okay, maybe I did.
Okay.
Okay, so I asked him about, I said, how you doing with the house? And he says, it's awful. He was a very negative guy. And I said, well, don't worry about it, because interest rates are going to be coming down. At least that's what I thought. They didn't, but I thought they were coming down because they were so high. But they went higher. But I said, interest rates are coming down. When I said the word interest, he went off on a tangent. He said those goddamn N-word and then those goddamn Jews. And he went rattling off about that. And then he gave me some literature from the Aryan Nations. And I was a little bit concerned. At that time, I think I became Irish Catholic, though, because I didn't want to be a Jew. That was for sure at that point. And so I went back right after I left him. I went back to my office, talked to the manager in the office, and I said, what is this stuff here, the Aryan Nations and that? He says, oh, don't pay any attention to that. That's a bunch of, no, he says, that's a few kooks that live here. Nobody pays attention to them. And I said, are there any other Jews that are around here? Because I didn't know, I met a couple, but I didn't meet too many of them. And I said, in fact, at that time, I didn't know any Jews because I'd only been here for 3 months at that mm-hmm. time. And I said, are there any other Jews around here? Well, he said, yeah, there's a guy that has a restaurant down the street. His name is Sid Rosen. So I went over to Sid Rosen, and Sid Rosen was kind of a unique guy. He was kind of a character. And he had been born and raised in Coeur d'Alene, or Hayden, it's the area that he was living in. And he lived not too far, he had a ranch and a restaurant, and he lived not too far from the Aryan Nations, and they were kind of hitting on him and doing stuff, he told me. And so we talked for a while, and then he says, you know what you are? He says, you're a closet Jew. I said, okay. So I left, and I went there for dinner one night with my wife. And
is this when it wasn't too crowded? Is that the?
Yeah, and the restaurant was empty. And he said, do you have a reservation? And I said, no. He says, well, you need a reservation to eat here. I said, okay, well, then we'll make a reservation. He says, you can't make a reservation inside the restaurant. You have to call me. And there was no cell phones, just 1980. So he says, there's a payphone across the street. So I went across the street to the payphone. I made a reservation. We came back in and we had dinner. And there were some people that he did that to everybody, that if they didn't have a reservation. And some people got really upset. I had a neighbor that went there and thought it was just awful what he did. I thought it was kind of funny. And, you know, so we had the dinner was good, too. And one of the reasons that he did that, he makes this really fancy salad. Looks like he's got a helicopter on sign. He's kind of an artist. So it was a unique place. But his name was Sid Rosen. And that was in the fall. Well, I met a few other Jewish people in town because of that and because of the incident, and find out, you know, who else is there, so I know where to get information on what's happening. And this lady named Dina Tanners calls me up and tells me that Sid Rosen's restaurant got swastika'd, and they put some signs on there that says, do not patronize this business, it's owned by a Jew. And she said she's getting a meeting together, and she wanted to know if I could make it on whatever night it was. But I said, you bet, I'll be down there. So I went down to the meeting. I was concerned. And there were some other Jewish people that she got down there. She also got – it was an election year, and we just – this was December. So the November election was over, but they haven't taken office yet. There was a new sheriff and a new undersheriff. They were there. There was a prosecuting attorney who was still in office. He was not up for election yet. And he was there.
So was there general concern about these guys at this point?
Well, this is a brand new thing. This is just this is the first action that happened that they did.
But it brings some tigers out of the woods that you didn't expect?
Yeah. It brought a lot of people out of the woods that I didn't expect. It brought me out of the woods that I didn't expect. It changed my life. In a big way.
I mean, by what I did. Yes, of course.
And so I was concerned about my own safety and my family. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I was concerned, and that's why I went to the meeting. So I went to the meeting, and most of the people there were Jewish, except for the political people, and there were some other folks that were concerned citizens that were not Jewish. So mm-hmm. we had about 20 people at that meeting, maybe 15 to 20. And we start talking about it. The sheriff didn't know what the heck a Nazi was, didn't know what an Aryan nation, never heard about it. Nazis, he just remembered Nazi Germany. He said, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have that here. And you know, he wasn't aware of that. The undersheriff was a guy named Larry Broadbent. He was about 6 foot two or three, weighed about 400 pounds, and he had a gun.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
So who later became my friend, because I was not going to be not friends with a guy with a gun that was that big. So he didn't know anything about Nazis, had no idea what they were. And so that was our first meeting. They said, if they break the law, we're going to arrest them. It's basically the way it came down. The prosecutor said he would prosecute them, and we walked away feeling fairly comfortable that, you know, things would get taken care of. One of the people that was involved in that group, though, was Earl Shy Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I said. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
He had a auto painting. I think he had a company called Quality Painting.
In L.A.
However, that's the only, as the years went on, that's the only incident that I knew he was involved in. I didn't know about any other incident that he was involved in after that. I think he got out of the group before most of them got arrested and went to jail. We'll get into that. So,
He was one of the Aryan Nation.
He was one of the Aryan Nation guys. He was a bad guy. And I remembered I went to a party.
You said he was there.
I think it was at Sheila Wirt's house. We were at a party, and the Shy Brothers came by with some other guys from Hollywood High, and they had a fight with Norm Schwartz and beat him up. And I never thought much about it. You know, we had the fights happen when you're in high school and stuff like that. And then when I thought back, I'm thinking, these guys beat up Norm Schwartz.
Think what they could do with the rest of you.
The reason they beat up Norm Schwartz was because he was a Jew. I didn't realize that they were anti-Semitic. I didn't even realize, you know, it was. I was shocked. So that was brought a little light. So then, so the meeting was over, went home, and about 3 months later, there was a lady by the name of Connie Fort, who was a white woman, had four children. She had two children that were white, but she had two children that were half black and half white. And she was a single mom. Teenagers are the white ones, and the black and the ones that were half black and half white, they were 5 and 6 years old. There was a man by the name of Keith Gilbert, who was part of the Aryan Nations, had a falling out with Richard Butler, who was the head of the other area of the Aryan Nations, and he opened up his own Aryan Nations in Post Falls. He had a total membership of one, him. And he was a really nasty, nasty man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was harassing these people. He was, he had
the
a
children,
van.
The children, he was harassing the
children?
Oh,
and the teenagers and the whole family.
Oh, I see.
And but the kids, the little kids, he was following them home. He was went out and spit on them, told them he was going to kill them. He was going to kill their mother and father, and just, I mean, awful stuff. And she went to the police, and the police arrested him. But it was a misdemeanor, and they tried him, and they convicted him. But the worst they could give him was like 30 days in jail, I mean, for doing that. And we thought that that was wrong. There should be a law that you cannot go out and do that in the state of Idaho. So we got the, we, she's, Gina Tanners started the Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations.
Oh.
And I was a founding board member of that. Tony Stewart was a founding board member. We are the two remaining board members, the founding board members of that organization. But that organization is still going today, and I'll tell you a little bit about what happened on there. There is a book that you can get called Hate Is My Neighbor.
I was going to ask you about that. That's your book.
Yeah, well, that's not my book. It's Bill Wasmith's book. Bill Wasmith was a Catholic priest, and I'll get to him in a little bit how he got involved. So,
but you're featured in it, I guess, a lot.
Yeah, I'm in the book.
Right.
But and it was written by Bill Wasmith and Tom Alibrandi, I think. I'm not sure on his first name, but Alibrandi is his last name. And I imagine you could look it up on the internet and probably find it. And so, and it basically was a chronological book from 1980 till about 1990 is the time frame that that book covered. Okay, so Connie Fort, they convict Keith Gilbert. We start the task force. The first meeting that we went to, we had about 10 or 12 people from the Aryan Nations with their swastikas on their shoulders and stuff marching, and this was in the First Christian Church, and the minister of the First Christian Church was our president of the organization. And his name will come to me in a minute. So, and we had about, Dina Tanner's lined up. We got about 4 or 5 ministers involved. And we had individuals from the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to work, and mm-hmm. what we were going to do is we wanted to, our goal was to pass some, to make, get some legislation passed mm-hmm. that would make it against the law to do what Keith Dilber did.
And make it a more serious
It was malicious
offense.
Harassment. Uh-huh. And not that year, but the next year, let's see, that was 81, 82, 1980, because 1983 is when the law passed. So it took a year and a half by the time we started to get the legislation in there.
So here's something. I mean, that's such a good lesson about citizens pulling together.
That's a grassroots organization, mm-hmm. and we put this legislation together, and we got a lot of heavy hitters that got involved in it, Republicans and Democrats. At that time, it was kind of mixed in North Idaho, Democrats and Republicans. Today, it's mostly Republicans, but we got together, and we got that law passed. It was the toughest malicious harassment law in the nation that Idaho passed. And,
well, let that be an example.
Excuse me?
Let that be an example.
Oh, yeah, that was. And it's still one of the toughest laws out there. There's some other states that have followed in suit, but we're still at the top of,
Is that single mother part of the group who was trying to get you?
No, in fact, she left the area she didn't leave right away, but she left maybe 6 months, a year later.
Oh, who,
she
could, was, who yeah, could blame
had
her?
Had some concerns.
Yeah.
So, we got the law passed, and after we got the law passed, 1983, well, Dena Tanners moves to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The minister moves to start a new church, Church of Christ, in the Seattle area. And that was the leadership of our organization.
But
so,
then the Aryan Nation was still active because you saw that sign when you were driving, right? Or somebody told you about
later.
Are we going to get to that?
So
we don't have to.
So then, okay. So then the let's see. So then we say, well, it's done. I figured I'm out of the human rights business. I'm going back to selling real estate full time, and I've been selling real estate full time. By the way, 1983, I was involved in that. That year, I was the number one realtor in Coeur d'Alene. Only was the number one realtor in Coeur d'Alene, volume-wise, but I knew more people in Coeur d'Alene by that time, and I'd been there for 3 years, than I knew in California in 40 years. And more important than that, more people knew me in Coeur d'Alene than knew me in California. Mm-hmm. So small towns are really cool if you want to get in an area that you can get, I think you can get richer in small towns than you can in big cities, okay, depending on the kind of business you're in and what you're doing. But if you want to live in a small town, don't let people talk you out of it.
Oh,
okay,
good,
let's go back to where we were. So we're out of the business of human rights
you think you're home free.
And somebody sends me a copy of the the Long Beach Press Telegram. And in the picture of the Long Beach Press Telegram, there is a cartoon that says, "Welcome to Hayden Lake," and leaning against that cartoon is Adolf Hitler with his hand up giving a Nazi salute with a swastika.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aryan Nations were starting to get active, and they were doing things, and they were starting to make the newspapers, and that's where that came. So that startled me that we had that cartoon. So, and then the news that came out, they were counterfeiting money. They murdered a talk show host by the name of Gene. What was his name? In Denver, Colorado.
Oh, I remember. There was
Alan Berg.
Yeah, there was a movie about that.
Yes, there was. And they machine gunned him in his driveway when he came home late at night after doing a talk show. They did not like him. So, and being a Jew was one of the problems that they didn't like him about. There were 28 people in the group called The Order. They came out of the Aryan Nations. Richard Butler got him excited and told him about, how we have to get rid of the Jews and how we have to, get rid of the black people. And he didn't call them black people, but not nice people. In his church, he has had a bust of Adolf Hitler. Yeah. So that was kind of where the church was
but
based
I have a question,
on.
Just for, if you hadn't been sent that cartoon from Southern California, you would have been unaware of all this for longer, right?
No, we knew that these guys had been doing some things. There was counterfeiting and stuff like that. So, but we didn't know that this press was going out. So uh-huh. I took that article to the Chamber of Commerce guys, to Sandy Emerson. And Sandy looks at it, and I says, we need to do something to counter this. We need to start writing letters to the editor and stuff like that. And Sandy says, you know what? Maybe we need to start the task force back up again.
Uh-huh.
So I said, well, you want to be president? Because I don't want to be president. So he says, well, let's see if we can get somebody, and maybe we should get a minister, because those guys are pretty good talkers and that. And he said, we could start going through some names, and he says, how about Bill Wasmuth? And Bill Wasmuth was a Catholic priest, mm-hmm. and he was a young guy, and he was kind of a flamboyant guy as a Catholic priest. He didn't wear his collar all the time, mm-hmm. and he would wear a sport jacket. He had his hair was all in curls, mm-hmm. and he was a really popular priest. He had come there a little before me. He got there in like 79, I believe, 78, 79. Mm-hmm. And he built that church from the St. Pius Church is what he was a pastor of. And he built it from 200 members to 700 members. So he was just a real dynamic guy. Everybody mm-hmm. loved him. He was so the hospice board and, you know, great mm-hmm. guy. So
he said yes.
He was not on the board. Well, we went to see him in his office, and the church was made out of bricks, by the way. And so we go to his office, and we sit down, and we give him the proposition. We're starting up the task force again. We need somebody to be the president of it, and we thought you would be perfect. Because the other fellow that was the president of it was married, and the Nazis used to come over his house harass his wife and harass his kids and things like that. So that was kind of tough. So we figured a Catholic priest, no wife, no kids, mm-hmm. you're perfect. Mm-hmm. I said, and you talk good. Mm-hmm. So
he said
he thought about it for a minute, and he says, oh, okay. He says, I'll do it, you know. So he figured this is going to be short-term, and so we all thought it was going to be a short-term deal. We were not looking for a long career there. So he becomes the head of the organization. We restart the organization again and get some new members, plus some of the old members are involved in it. And by this time, Larry Broadbent, he's a member also of the board, because we made a seat for law enforcement, for political office people. A person from every religion has got a seat on the board, for mm-hmm. black people, for Asian people, for mm-hmm. Jews, Hispanics. Mm-hmm. And then we had just members at large mm-hmm. that were on mm-hmm. the board. So we had about 20 people, I think, on our board. And we had and all this stuff going on with the Aryan Nations. Also, at that time, the FBI, we had one FBI agent in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, when I moved there. In 1983, Wayne Maness came into Coeur d'Alene. I think it was 83, could have been 84, with a total, he was the head of the FBI for our area, mm-hmm. with a total of 80 agents.
Wow.
That was the first economic development we had in Coeur d'Alene, and we needed it, by mm-hmm. the way. So
that was
good.
Right. Okay.
So, and most of these guys were all undercover.
And but you effectively took care of this problem, didn't you?
No, we
didn't. The Aryan Nation,
we reacted to the problem, and we opposed the Aryan Nations big time.
But are they as active there now?
No. We sued them in 2000. Uh-huh. We had a lawsuit. I think it was 1999 or 98. It was a lady driving down the road in front of the Aryan Nations, a lady and her son. And the car backfired, and the guys were drinking. They had a big tower up there, a guard tower, and they had uniforms on. and they had guns, and they said somebody's shooting at us, and they came down, and the car had turned around and went back. They had lost something out of the car and then went back to get it, and then they're coming back again, and they chased her down the street, shot 6 bullets into the back of her car with rifles, ran her off the road, pulled her out of the car by her hair, hit her in the gut with the barrel of a gun, and the boy was about 18 years old. He's crouching in the car, don't hit me, don't hit me. Mm-hmm. And some of the neighbors came out and saw it, so they just kind of left and went back.
Oh, my goodness.
To the thing. And the sheriff came down, and because somebody had called the sheriff, and there was a new regime, by the way, in the sheriff's office. It was another election. The sheriff that we met was there for 2 terms. He had 8 years. And then this other fellow got in, and he wasn't as proactive on human rights as the other guys were. And Larry Broadbent was not on the sheriff's board anymore. So what happened was the sheriff went up there, told those guys, don't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you shoot somebody's car up on the road, you don't say, don't do that again. You arrest them and take them to jail. So somebody talked to this woman who was kind of living on the fringe anyway, and she lived out in the boonies, and talked her into talking to the task force. And Norm Gissel, who's a local attorney, who's a member of the task force, talked to him. We called in Morris Dees from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and we partnered up with him. And we sued him. We got a judgment for $6.5 million
against the Nazis,
against Richard Butler and the Aryan Nations Church. Okay, and that's what we did there. So that was good. Getting back to the other part, so we had the right after we got all the other they had 28 people in the first order called. The name of the group was the Order. And there's 28 of them. Most of them did not have any criminal record. 28 of them that went to jail for life. L-I-F-E, life in prison.
What a relief.
It was a relief. And one guy, the head of it, Bob Matthews, was killed in a shootout in Whidbey Island. And they threw a tear glass thing into the house, and it caught fire or something. The house burned down, and Bob never came out. So he got in. He got dead, but he was the head of it. The rest of them went to jail, got life sentences, and we didn't have to worry about them anymore about those. So then they had order number 2 starts.
Oh, my goodness.
3 guys. One guy that used to work for a sheriff's department in California.
Just keep coming at you. I mean, this is just...
Oh. And what was his name? Let's see. There was 3 guys. Door and... the names are not coming to me right now. That's what happens when you get old. So these guys started going around and putting signs, swastikas all around the area. And I got paint in my car. I go race the paint over the swastikas. One day, Ann Fox calls me up and she says, Marshall, you got to get down here right away. They did some really terrible stuff on the embankment on Lockhaven, which was about a mile from my house, coming up the hill. I go down there, and on this white embankment, they have the concrete blocks that are about, maybe 6 feet long and 2 feet high, 3 feet high. Somebody writes on there, kill Marshall Mend, with a swastika next to it.
Didn't, and here you are.
No, and then, so we, excuse me?
We're just about done.
Okay. So there was a FBI agent who lived right next door to where he did it. Mm-hmm. So he was there. His name was Joe Vincus. And then another fellow was a realtor, was driving up the hill, and he stopped. And I had my paint with me, so I kind of painted over the swastika and that stuff and went on about my business there.
Okay, so the life lesson here, it would seem, is you can't let the first bad behavior go.
No,
you have to constantly be on the alert and take action.
Yeah, the biggest
against
thing,
things you can't live
yeah,
with.
Yeah, making it really simple. silence gives consent. If you don't, and we had a lot of people in the area that really came down on us about being silent. They were good people, but they thought we're making too much noise and we're causing all this publicity. Right. We weren't causing publicity. It's what those guys were doing that was causing the publicity. Okay. You know, killing people and doing stuff like that. Right. Not nice.
So if you don't do something against, you look like you're for.
Yeah.
So there's Martha, thank you so much for
this. Read the book. You'll get a whole lot more out of it.
Hate is my neighbor. You can order it online. Go to Amazon, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And then also another one called Common Courage about Bill Wasmith, which is a real good book about Bill.
Okay, I'll look for that.
And that's another
Thank you so much. This was just excellent.
Good.
And good for you. And here is the high school dropout. Who has now taken a position where he's just a power that we need more of. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
This is Janet Gallen saying goodbye until next time.